I change it on you. Hebrews chapter 2. Everybody there? Starting with verse 1. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 1. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? I want you to notice that five times in verses 1 through 3, the word "we" is used. He says, we have heard. We should let them slip. We ought to give the more earnest heed. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? In way of introduction in verse 1, he says, the more earnest heed. He says, you should remind yourself. That's what preaching does. It reminds you many times of things that you know. I don't have a brand new subject. I don't have a brand new Bible. I've got things to share with you, and I want to bring it to your attention. And that's what the writer is talking about. He said we should give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. You see that? Y'all get that? We have heard. It's not the first time. Year after year after year, you come to church Sunday morning to be reminded of things we have heard. The problem with a lot of Baptists, they don't ever give a more earnest heed to the things that they've always heard. Then he goes on to tell us, lest at any time we should let them slip. So many Christians are letting the things they've heard slip. Maybe when you first got saved, you were so excited about what you heard, and you gave a more earnest heed to the things which you have heard. But as we sometimes get older in the faith, instead of getting stronger, many times we let them slip because we don't take that earnest heed to the things which we have heard throughout the years. Let me say this also. It can happen to anybody. It can happen to anybody that's been saved. I'm not going to try to tell you tonight that everything that I've ever preached affects me like it does maybe at different times. I have to go back and remind myself these are things that I have preached, things that I have heard, to even be careful as a pastor, never to let them slip. So first of all, let me start off with those of you that may not be saved. I'm going to give you the way to heaven. This hadn't changed. Take heed to this. Jesus died on the cross for your sins. And he was buried. And he rose again the third day so that you could be saved. So that every sin you've ever committed in your life can be forgiven. Isn't that great? Take heed to that. Every sin you've ever done, I don't care what it is, I don't care what you've done. The gospel provides this for you. When Jesus shed his blood at the cross at Calvary, he paid it all so that you could be saved. I want you to know if you're here today and you've never been saved, don't let this opportunity slip by. You come forward and get born again. A lot of people are slipping into hell. As I preach this morning for 30 minutes, say, people are going to slide into hell in the next 30 minutes that have never taken heed to the things which they have heard. I want you to take heed to this truth. Jesus paid it all. He'll save your soul. Your name will be written down in heaven. And if you pass away today, you are assured of going to heaven. A lot of people slip into hell by religion. I see it all the time. Well, I'm a Catholic. That's not going to get you to heaven. Or I'm a Baptist. That's not going to get you to heaven. Or I'm a Presbyterian. That's not going to get you to heaven. Or I'm a Methodist. That's not going to get you to heaven. You are depending on religion to get you to heaven. And you're slipping into hell by religion. Some folks are slipping into hell by sincerity. Some of the most sincere people that I know are lost people. In fact, some of the most loyal people are lost people. Do you know that saved people do more gossip than lost people? Right, yeah. Some of you may not like that, but that's true. Saved people have a tendency to talk about their brother, whereas lost people, at least they're loyal about their lost friends. That won't get them to heaven. That's sincerity. I want you to know you can be a sincere friend and go to hell. You could be a sincere person and go to hell. Take heed to what I'm telling you today. You come and be saved. You don't have to be a gossiper. Not all Christians gossip a lot, but some do. Amen? Something else that'll cause you to slip into hell is family tradition. Through the years that I've been pastoring, so many families say, but I can't leave my church because my grandmother was raised there, or my mother and dad were raised there, and they're drying up, they're withering, because they're not getting food off the table, amen? They're not being fed spiritually. I want you to know that you ought to come and take a more earnest heed to this truth and not go to hell because of family tradition. You are in a church this morning. At least you're guaranteed the truth. Something else, wrong dependence will send a person to hell. They're depending on what they do. They're depending that they're not a gossiper like a lot of Christians. They're depending on the fact that there's hypocrites in the church. Well, I've never seen a church that didn't have a hypocrite. I ain't never run into one. Every church has a hypocrite in it. But the thing about it, if you go to hell, you'll have to be a bigger hypocrite because you're standing behind the hypocrite that's sending you to hell. Did that make sense? I hope so. I'm trying to say, what are you depending on to get you to heaven? Are you depending on your baptism? Are you depending on your good life? Are you depending on what you do? Are you depending on something other than the blood of Jesus Christ? I want you to know that religion and wrong dependence will send you to hell. I'm leading to something. I got to deal with the loss first. There's two kinds of death. Two kinds of death. They have two different greetings. If you die today and you're not saved, you're going to be greeted by demons. They're going to drag your soul into hell. But if you're saved, the greeting, you will be greeted by a couple of angels. I don't know how many, but at least two that will carry you into heaven. I think I like that greeting better than to be dragged into a burning hell and never able to get out of there. Two different kinds of death, two different kinds of greetings. The death is a person that dies physically, but if you're saved, you will die spiritually. You will receive spiritual life when you leave this old world. It's either heaven or hell. Take heed today. As I look across this congregation, I hope everybody's saved. But I don't know. I don't know anybody's heart. I do know there's two kinds of people in this room. I think you're all decent people. And I love every one of you. But it would break my heart for me to go to heaven and somebody in this room not show up. Take the more earnest heed to the things that you're hearing this morning and come on up and get saved. Amen, you say, my pride won't allow it. And your pride will send you to hell. Don't you worry about coming up and wondering what people think. The most important thing is to get saved. Don't worry about what people are thinking. I know this bunch here today, and I was telling Brother Robert, what a sweet spirit that's in this church. Everybody enjoys each other. Everybody enjoys being around each other. This bunch in here is not going to look down on you if you get saved. They'll be happy. Christians, now secondly, Christians need to not allow some things in their life to slip. They need to take the more earnest heed of what they have gotten since they've gotten saved. Let me remind you of what Jesus Christ did for you. He took you like you were. He saved your soul. He set you free. He took away every sin you've ever committed in your life. You are going to go to heaven when you die. That has been settled. You're born again. Your name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. If we were to look at the roll book of heaven, your name would be there if you have been saved. I don't know if it's in alphabetical order or what, but God doesn't have to have it in alphabetical order. We have things in alphabetical order so we can find it. But I want you to know if you're saved, your name is in heaven, whether it's in alphabetical order or not. God knows where you're at. You need to realize that you've got something wonderful the day you got saved. Don't be so forgetful of what God did for you when he saved you. First of all, don't let the memory of the cross slip on you. Get back to thinking about him and get back to thanking him for what he did for you. Let me ask you something. When was the last time you stopped and just thanked the Lord for saving your good-for-nothing soul? Amen. We don't do enough of that. We neglect that. You say, preacher, why? Because we don't give a more earnest heed to the things that we've received, for the things we got when we got saved. I guarantee you, the day you got saved and for a few months, you were so happy, you couldn't stop thanking the Lord for what he did for you. It's you and I that are saved. We forget. We don't think about what he did and all the sins that he forgave us for. If the cross loses its excitement, it's the how he took you. I want to remind you, it was the cross of Calvary. It's the why you're forgiven. And I want you to know a lot of Christians are sitting in pews today that have been saved a long time. Don't have the excitement that they used to have. They don't have the thrill that they once had when they got saved. Remember the old song, it's a secular, when the thrill's gone? Everybody remembers that one, I'm sure. You used to listen to any kind of secular music. But I want you to know, when the thrill goes, since you have been saved, there's something wrong. You need to get the thrill back. Amen. Amen? Because you're still saved. You're on your way to heaven. We need to refresh our memory. Watch it. We need to take the more earnest heed to the things that we have heard and the things that we received and the things we have learned and the things that have been given by the Lord Jesus Christ to every one of us that have been saved. You and I are free because of Calvary. Don't let the memory of the cross slip on you, folks. Number two, some of you have outgrown your excitement for the church. Now, some of you are not going to like this, but that's okay. Years ago, if a revival was scheduled in this church, I knew you would support it. I'm not so sure anymore. I don't know how many would go out of their way to come back at night. I don't know anymore. But there was a time that I could schedule an evangelist to come and stir up our church, and the expense would be worth it. But now, most of you would come Sunday morning, and that's it. And $2,000 or so would be wasted. I'm trying to tell you, I used to know that you would be here. I don't know anymore for sure who would. You know why? The thrill is gone. There's no more excitement. You, to come Sunday morning, I thank you, is part of your life. But revival meetings mean you got to put yourself out just a little bit. And that's where the problem is. There was a time I would not have had to say that. And I'm not fussing at anybody. I'm just trying to say, get the thrill back. Get the thrill back of the fact that you're saved. It's easier to miss church after you've been saved a while. You ever notice when somebody first joins this church, can't get enough of it? I mean, I've seen some of you in here, when you first joined the church, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, then all of a sudden you start missing Wednesday night, but you'd come back Sunday morning and Sunday night, then all of a sudden you start missing Sunday night, and now you're satisfied with Sunday morning only. What happened? You're not any less saved than you were. You're still going to heaven, but I want you to know when the thrill goes, that's what happens. It's so much easier to miss church. Sometimes pleasure comes first. Folks prefer pleasure sometimes over the things of God. Let me give you some reasons why people miss church. Secondly, they put their family over God. In other words, if your family decides they're going to come to your house and visit you this Sunday, your carcass is going to be at home. You ought to say, I'm going to the house of God. Come on with me. But I want you to know, because they won't come with you, you put them that you love, your family members, over the one that died on the cross for your sins. How about this reason? Weather determines whether we go. If it's nice like it is today, no clouds in the sky, sunny, cool, people come to the house of God, but you let a little sprinkle come Sunday morning about 9 o'clock. Well, I think we'll just stay in. The weather determines whether you come to the house of God. There was a time you used to come when there was a thunderstorm. Boy, I can't buy an amen this morning here. That's good preaching, preacher. I'm just telling you the truth. What's that, Brother Robert? Amen. That's the thing. I want everybody to think about that. It's so easy. The excitement for Ridge Memorial Baptist Church. We have a great spirit here. I noticed this morning everybody loves each other. Everybody hugs each other. It's a sweet spirit. How come that doesn't filter over? And I want you to know, people look for every reason to miss the services of God's house. They use pleasure, they use family, they use the weather, and then they got to feel good. They got a toe ache, they won't come to the house of God, but they'll go to work with their toe ache. They got a headache, they won't come to the house of God. They'll stay home and rest with that headache. But Lord and behold, come Monday morning, you'll go to work with that headache. Right, right. Who are you putting first? That's right. That's good preaching, folks. That's right, brother. I can't buy an amen, so I'll just say, amen, preacher. Amen. Glory to God. I'm trying to tell you the truth. You know, it's easy to say amen when I'm preaching on drinking and running around. But when it comes to something that comes to your house, you won't answer the phone. Amen? And I've tried to give you something that'll get you to take a more earnest heed to the things which I have preached to you, and that's been in the Word of God. You've got to feel good to come to church. I don't always feel good. But I'm going to be here and preach to you, amen? I mean, some days I got a headache. But I don't stay home because I got a headache. I want to preach to people I love. So I'm trying to tell you, when the excitement, you've outgrown the excitement for your church, this church prepares you for heaven. It's the closest thing Sunday morning that you'll get to heaven. I want you to know the church is so important that Jesus purchased it with his own blood. Amen. The Bible says to forsake not the assembling of ourselves together. How come the thrill is gone? How come there's just, you don't put yourself out like you used to? I'm not mad. I just want you to think about that. It's between you and God. Number three. When sinners going to hell is not a big issue anymore, then you're not giving heed to those things. I want you to think about your children burning in hell. I want you to think about your grandchildren burning in hell. There was a time when I was a young preacher, I couldn't say grandchildren, because hardly anybody had any, amen? But this bunch has them now. And I want you to know you got grandchildren. One day they're going to die also, and you may die before them, and more than likely you will. I want you to know your children can burn in hell if they will if they go to hell. Your grandchildren will burn in hell. Your best friend will burn in hell if you don't get them saved. I wish God, and I've said this I don't know how many times, but I think you've forgotten. I wish God would let every one of us in this room for the next 5 minutes go to hell. I wish he'd open up a big hole and all of us out of control slip into that hole and go to hell for 5 minutes and know what people go through for the next 5 minutes. Nobody's ever said they want that. But I want you to know if all of us in this room went to hell for 5 minutes, we'd come out of that place. And you say, preacher, what you preach this morning is right. I'm going to look at salvation a little differently. I'm going to look at my best friend that I work with differently. I'm going to look at my children differently. I'm going to look at my parents differently. I'm going to look at my grandparents differently. I want to get them saved. God's not going to let you slip into hell for 5 minutes. There's enough of that in the Word of God. Number four, people that get sympathetic to sin. And this is what bothers me. Take the more earnest heed to the things that you have heard. Well, preacher, that's just old Brother Paul. He been preaching that stuff for 25 years. That's just old Brother Paul. You know how he is. Don't pay any attention to it. He's outdated, you know? And what happens? You let these things slip. Because you justify it, you become sympathetic to sin. I want you to know there was a time that we hated the idea of doctors murdering little babies from the mother's womb. There was a time that we hated that. And now, well, preacher, you're outdated. It's just Brother Paul. I want you to know those babies have a right to live. Amen? And I want you to know we need to not get sympathetic to that sin. I realize that person that has an abortion can get forgiveness. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about when we let it slip, when we're not sympathetic to the sin as far as the pain that these people go through, but we become sympathetic to sin itself. And you say, what do you mean? I mean, we don't care anymore. It doesn't mean as much as it used to. Now when I preach on marriage, that marriage is between a man and a woman, well, Brother Paul, there he goes again. That's what I'm talking about. He thinks by now we don't know that. Why does he keep reminding us of that? Because we are to take the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, past tense. Y'all with me so far? Well, praise the Lord. That's good preaching, Dabdu. Thank you. Amen. Well, glory. I still have a good time preaching. Y'all get in on this thing. Amen. This is the kind of preaching here, but don't get folks excited because the phone's ringing. Amen. And this ain't your cell phone either. I want you to know sin put Jesus Christ on the cross. He died for you and I. And I want you to know, let me go a little farther with that. It was my sin that put him on the cross. And it was your sin that put him on the cross. Amen. He died for every kind of sin that you can think of. Every kind of sin. And I want you to know that's the way it goes, and it shouldn't go that way. We are too forgetful of what he did for us. Let me go on. We let the forgiveness of Jesus Christ slip also. You say, what do you mean? How do you know by that, preacher, that we let forgiveness slip and we don't take the more earnest heed? Because we don't forgive like we should. Somebody hurts you, forgive them. That's old stuff, ain't it? Somebody hurts your feelings, forgive them. If that person comes to you and asks you to forgive them, don't you be a smart aleck and say, well, I ain't going to forgive you when you expect God to forgive you. That's what I'm talking about. We let these things go. We don't take it seriously anymore. We don't take forgiveness seriously anymore. We don't give the more earnest heed. We don't love each other like we should. I believe people in this church do love each other, but I wonder sometimes how much. If that if there's somebody in our church in need, would you say, God bless you? Not help him as he talks about in the book of James. If somebody in this church was in the hospital, would you go and see them? There's some people you would go see because you're closer with them. But if there's somebody you're not so close with, make them important too. Amen. I'm talking about you would want somebody to come see you if you were in there. We need to pick up on that. I'm talking about forgiving one another. Number six, let me remind you of the things you will never lose. God will never let these things slip on you. His grace. His grace. His marvelous grace. That grace took you like you were, and he saved you. God will never let that go, though sometimes we let the grace of God, we don't take the more earnest heed to the things we receive. God will never let his grace slip in your life. He'll never let his mercy. He put up with you. He put up with me. When he saved your soul, he could have sent you to hell. The day that I remember when I was a teenager and I was lying in the ditch on Gauss Boulevard drunk, didn't know my way around, and somehow I was able to drive myself home, and my mother waiting up for me at 2 o'clock in the morning. There, she wouldn't go to bed because she was afraid her son didn't know where he was and what he was going through. When I go back and I think about that, the grace and the mercy of God, how he got me home, I believe God was looking back at that old sinner laying in a ditch about 18 years old saying, I'm going to make a preacher out of that half Arab. Amen? Well, glory. Woo, glory. And here I am, your pastor. I want you to know God will take a dirty sinner. He'll have mercy. He'll have grace. And he'll put up with him. He'll love you like nobody else can. And God's love will never change on you. His forgiveness will never change on you. You and I can still confess our sins, and he'll forgive us. Aren't you glad God's not like us? We hold things against people. We don't take the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard about forgiveness, but yet, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all, what? Unrighteousness. And we expect that. God, when I confess my sins to you, I know you are going to forgive me because you promise it. Thank God he doesn't change on that. His salvation will never change. His security will never change. I'm talking about when you got saved, it's forever. Aren't you glad it's not dependent on you whether you keep it? Amen? And I want you to know the way he's treating you, he'll treat you when you die, you can count on it. Amen? I want you to know this morning, let's continue to take the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. Lest at any time, church, we should let them slip. By the way, we're fixing to have an invitation. Don't let that slip on you. If God spoke to your heart, it's a little later than normal. That won't kill you. Come on. Come on before you go home. Bring this thing to the Lord. And secondly, if you're not saved, come on. Come on right now. Say, preacher, my problem is I've never been saved. And if you are saved, would you come and make a promise to God, a dedication to God? You're going to learn to take the more earnest heed to those things you know. Father,